Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Oh, great to have you with us, friends, on this Monday afternoon as we have our final week of broadcasting leading up to the celebration of the birth of our Savior, the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are excited about that. Of course, we've spent the last couple of weeks just highlighting this all-important theme, and we will continue to do that this week. This week's theme here in the Grace Hour will be Heaven Came Down. And isn't that the reality of what we celebrate at Christmas? Heaven indeed come down in the person of Christ, who is God's salvation. If you recall in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, that is exactly what Simeon said as he found Mary and Joseph and their young child in the temple. He picked him up and he said, "My eyes have seen God's salvation." How grateful are we today, friends, that our salvation was not given to us with an outline of the things that we need to do, the works that we needed to perform, the laws that we needed to keep. It came in the person of Christ, who would give himself as a sacrifice for our sins on Calvary's cross. So much to celebrate, and we're looking forward to doing just that. When the phone lines are open following today's devotional, friends, you can join us at 800-338-7060. Again, that's the toll-free number in all of North America, 800-338-7060, and of course the local number 410-483-3700. And we hope that many of you listening in the greater Baltimore area on WRBS, the local station that we broadcast the Grace Hour on Monday through Friday from 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we hope to hear from many of you this week as well as we again celebrate the reality, the truth, the fact that heaven indeed did come down. The rest of you, of course, are joining us live on the internet at gracehour.org and Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We're just grateful to have the opportunity once again to be live in the studio and to, again, highlight this great theme of Christ coming into our world. And we are so excited about that. We had the opportunity yesterday to be in Brooklyn, New York, wow, with the precious body of Christ there, and had a wonderful service with them. And a great time of fellowship with those wonderful believers. The hospitality from the church in Brooklyn is always over the top. The love, the worship, the fellowship, unequaled. So grateful for them. Hope to hear maybe from some of those folks today on the Grace Hour as well. And we hope to hear from Pastor Schiavelli, who's live in the studio today.
Live!
I think we're going to hear from him. Welcome.
Well, did you do any dancing in Brooklyn? They did, though, huh? No,
not this time.
Really?
No, well, you know, New York City, Pastor Schiavelli, you can imagine, under these strict COVID prohibitions, we actually had to sign in when we arrived at the church. We had to sign our names. And
yeah, I remember that happened to me too. Yeah.
But no dancing, no dancing. And the offering was different too. I was kind of excited about,
what I meant, the offering.
No, we just said when you leave, just put your offerings at the back of the church.
Really?
Like, yeah. I miss the dancing.
I know. What's going on? We got to talk. Is Pastor Sterling listening to us today?
He might be.
Well, we need to make some helpful adjustments.
Like more dancing.
Oh, God. It's interesting. And I was just thinking about our subject today on Grace Hour. Definitely has to do with Christmas. I'm sure of it. I think I left my subject matter. What is the subject for today? Heaven came down. That's true. Yes. And I want to talk about something that takes place. And oftentimes, and rightfully so, we talk about Christmas and salvation. And I love this particular word because in Luke 2:30 and John, and also in Luke 3, verse 6, I want to just turn there and read this portion of Scripture. Three times in the Bible that I know of, but there may be more, but three times in the Bible it talks about salvation as a noun. Now, we know, if we've taken anything in English classes before, or the English language, there's a noun and there's a verb. A noun is a person, place, or thing, and a verb is an action word. And probably 99% of the time, the word save or salvation is used. It is used, or deliverance. The word is sozo, and it's used as an active verb, a verb that has action to it, an action word, very much an action word. Salvation is an action word. But in Luke 2:30, it's a little bit different here. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30, Simeon is speaking. He's in the temple. He says, "For mine eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. The word is soterion, and it really speaks of a person. It really speaks of a person. It speaks of a salvation that's a total salvation. That's how it is put in the original language. In Luke 3, verse 6, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So this word salvation is not just the word for a person that comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and gets saved. That's where it begins. There's no doubt about that. But it really includes, when it's used as a noun, so much more than just salvation by grace and being born again and being translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. We see this used probably in a very important way in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Let's start there. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," and that's once again a noun, and it speaks of a person, and it speaks of something that's absolutely complete, perfect, total salvation. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So I want to define this idea of total salvation from Titus 2, 11 and 12. Number one, salvation speaks of bringing me to Jesus. When somebody is saved, when you read in the Bible about people like Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the man with the infirmity, Lazarus, the woman caught in adultery, the Luke 7 women, the Luke 4:16 through 21 people that are spoken to, we see of salvation speaking of being brought to Jesus. We understand Christmas, and we understand salvation, Jesus coming into the world, Jesus coming to us, heaven coming to earth, heaven to earth. But we're talking about not only that, but being brought to Jesus, not Jesus just coming to us. But salvation is about me coming in contact with Jesus himself through the message of the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, in the gospels. This is so key, that coming to Jesus. We see this happening so many times in the scriptures, people coming to Jesus. But that's not total salvation. The second point on total salvation is I'm brought into the church. If I'm just a person that's a Christian and I'm saved, amen to that. Praise the Lord for that. I've gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. I'm delivered from hell and a destiny separated from God forever. But that's not where God wants us to stop. He wants us to come into the church. In Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 11, God went after Saul of Tarsus. Saul became Paul, and Barnabas went to Antioch to seek after Saul, to bring him to the church. What good is Saul of Tarsus, or Paul the Apostle? What good is an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or a Christian without the church? So salvation not only brings me to Jesus, it brings me into the church. This is so key. And if that's not happened, or that's not happening, or you don't think it's necessary to happen, you miss out on total salvation. Number three, the third principle in total salvation is you are brought up. You grow as a believer. 2 Peter 3:18 and 2 Timothy 2:1, growing. God wants to bring us up. Bring us up. Salvation is not just coming to Jesus, not just coming into the church, but coming up, being brought up and growing as a believer. What happens when a person gets saved and okay, and they do find the church, but they never grow? They've been a Christian 30 years and they're still wearing a diaper. That's the way it is. Been a Christian 20 years and they still need their bottle. Okay? There's no growth. And what would happen when people, you know, you can see people in bodies, and that's a mental problem that takes place where people never grow. There's no growing as a believer. And you can go and be around some Christians and some churches where nothing ever changes. There's never any growth. There's new souls are not added. New churches are not planted. People have the very same thought patterns and purposes and motives, and the current trends have taken over sometimes, and they never grow. So total salvation, being brought to Jesus, into the church, brought up. Number four, total salvation is bringing you back in restoration. Galatians 6:1, Luke 15, grace is there to bring you back. Grace brings you to Jesus. Grace brings you into the church. Grace causes you to grow, brings you up. Grace brings you back, Galatians 6:1, in restoration, Luke 15, and many other instances where Israel and Jeremiah 31 needed to be restored. So total salvation means grace bringing you back. Number five, total salvation means you and I and the church going against the enemy. James 4:5 through 8, 1 Peter 5:1 through 12. We have grace, and total salvation is us being given grace to go against the enemy in battle. Ephesians 6:10 through 17. Take the whole armor of God. Total salvation. Number six of total salvation, grace brings you out with the gospel. So grace brought you to Jesus, into the church. Grace brings you up as you grow. Grace brings you back when you fail. Grace brings you against the enemy, and grace brings you out with the gospel and a mission. This is total salvation. And then finally, number seven, grace brings you on to heaven. In Acts 7, Stephen is brought home to heaven. Grace brings you on. This is a grace, total salvation, for the grace of God that bringeth total salvation, soterion, has appeared unto all men. So, Father, we pray today you bless our time on the airways, wherever we are, and bless our week. May it be a week of grace, a week of understanding total salvation. Bless our time. Bless those who call in. Bless those who write in. Bless those who don't. But we'd rather have you do it. So give us a call. Send us an email. Ask us a question. Be a participator so that this is the grace hour. It's the total grace hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you are listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Monday afternoon as we get a brand new week of broadcasting underway right here from our studios at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. And we hope you enjoyed today's message. Sounds like total grace to me, and total grace. Salvation. And, of course, that message of the grace of God rings true to our hearts, and we sense it. We sense that it is all the work of God's great grace. And someone might say, well, what's my role? You're the recipient.
Be a receiver.
Just a receiver. That's it.
Yes, that's all. I mean, you should ask them to sing that song in Brooklyn yesterday. Hey, I'm a Receiver.
Ooh. they sang some great ones.
They did,
I'll
huh?
Tell you.
I know. They've got great music.
And you know, and for those of you that are familiar with our church in Brooklyn, or perhaps Daryl and Veronica Moses, they, of course, have moved to Florida. But still, I mean, I thought that they might be shortchanged a little bit
with
worship and praise, but no. They have a great group that's anointed to usher in the presence of God through a wonderful time of worship. It was just outstanding.
We'd like to usher in their presence on this radio show today.
Yes, we would.
If they're listening, or maybe they're busy practicing their singing.
Well, Pastor Schiavelli, Pastor Sterling asked them, how many of you listened to The Grace? A lot of hands went up. A lot of hands went up. So
some of those hands can call.
That's right.
Have one of those hands dial our number. What's the numbers?
800-338-7060. That would be the number that you folks would dial up in New York and anywhere in North America. And that local number here in Baltimore, you could join us by dialing 410-483-3700.
How are the Knicks doing with Total Salvation?
They could use some help.
They could use some help. God's willing to give it.
I know. I guess they just got to humble themselves to receive it.
There you go.
But they're off to a rather slow start. They started out red hot, cooled off, and now I think the COVID virus is making its way through the league. So there's some games postponed and some players that have to sit out for a while. But I think the good news about this latest variant, Pastor Schiavelli, is that it can multiply very quickly, but it does not seem, the indication at this point, is that it's not as serious or deadly as the previous one,
mm-hmm.
which is good news. It's good news.
Interesting. It's interesting what's going on. And if you're not careful, of course we understand that there is this COVID and it's there. But I think what can happen with people, if you're not careful, you can live in such a spirit of fear that you never want to have any contact with any human being again. And then those patterns can get developed where people become isolated from each other. And they really have nothing to do with people anymore. And I think that COVID is also used by the devil first against Jesus Christ and against the church, just to keep people from coming to church, and hearing the word of God. And if you have to come and wear a mask, fine. Just do that. That's okay. No matter what church you go to, but really think about what is the overall objective and of the enemy in this kind of a thing. His overall objective was to keep us from growing spiritually, to keep us from body life and church fellowship, to keep us away from giving the gospel out to other people, whether it's by knocking on doors or on the streets or communication over the holidays, giving people the gospel. And some people won't even meet for any time at Christmas because of what's going on. And I think that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, love, and a sound mind. So let's help us, God, because I know He will, not to live intimidated or with a spirit of timidity or fear, as Paul would say to Timothy, because he had a tendency to be that way. And that can happen to anybody. But let's be people who receive grace for total salvation. Anybody out there?
Well, we hope you'll pick up that phone and give us a call. We look forward to hearing from you and excited about heaven coming down as we celebrate this Christmas season. Of course, we're just days away from the actual day that we celebrate Christ coming into the world. And of course, Pastor Schiavelli, there's lots of debate over whether or not that was actually the day. I don't even think that matters.
Even if somebody got the day wrong and somebody's so much against, December 25th or something like that and whatnot, and you switch it to another day, they wouldn't worship God anyway.
That's right.
People that are so nitpicky about every day and all this kind of stuff. You know what? So if it was the day that you wanted it to be, what would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do any different?
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't do anything.
Right.
Because you're so nitpicky about a day that you've missed the importance of the person.
Exactly.
Of Christ himself. We have one initiation.
Yeah, Pastor Ben writes, none of these things move us in Jesus' name.
Nothing. Acts 20:24.
Amen.
You ever read the verse? I know Pastor Ben has. Acts 20:24, when Paul was speaking to the leaders of Ephesus, who were under severe attack all around them, everywhere you could turn, there was an attack on the church of Ephesus. And Paul said, make sure you understand this. Don't let anything move you. Something just moved the engineer out the door. I don't know what.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that those of you that are trying to give us a call,
the phones,
are going to be able to get through to us. We had a little bit of a problem the other day.
Really?
I think we've corrected it. So don't stop trying to reach us. We really are excited about you calling us, sharing your thoughts about this Christmas season. You know, it's interesting because you just mentioned about, you know, the day. I mean, Christ experienced that himself when he, you know, healed people on the Sabbath.
Yes.
He had the religious leaders approaching him saying, you can't do that. And of course, Jesus' response was, why? They said, wrong day.
Wrong day.
Wrong day.
Imagine that. They were a day late and a dollar short. So they were, I mean, really, like, you know, some people that are so picky about those kind of things, you know. Well, should it be in the morning? Should it be in the evening? Should you have a tree? Should you not have a tree? What should you eat? Should you eat unleavened bread? Can you eat lasagna? Whatever. I mean, literally, to the pure, all things are pure. And yeah. Just after a while, it gets really irritating.
It does.
It doesn't irritate me, but I let it. It's like water off a duck's back, you know, whatever. Yeah. But
well, rather than arguing or debating over which day Christ came, how about we just celebrate the fact that he came?
He came.
He came.
And here's a question. How about celebrating the fact that has he come into your life?
Yeah.
Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That would be a great, much far greater important question to ask people than about what particular day or time or whatnot, you know, or what we should eat at Christmas and all of that, you know.
That's right. Because you can't argue away the historical fact that Christ came and came, we know, based upon what the scriptures teach us, for that specific purpose of reaching us with his great love and dying for us and becoming our Savior. Well, we asked someone from Brooklyn, New York to give us a call, and someone has responded.
Mrs. Barbara Johnson! We're on the air!
Good afternoon, Pastor Love, Pastor Shabelli. Oh my God, it's so great.
Are you going to sing? Are you going to sing?
Again, Pastor Love.
Good to hear from you.
Yes, we just was continued to ring out your message in our 6:30 wrap last night, and you know everybody just speaking in reference to, you know, how God can deliver us from interruptions. You know, I woke up this morning and I said, "This is a new day, and there might be interruptions, but I thank God for the above life to live above those things." So, yeah, it's just a blessing to the team that came down, you know, yesterday.
Amen.
Encouraging us to continue to go on. And, you know, during this time, our ministry, we're like in prayer. 1 o'clock is our prayer where the body calls in on a conference call and each one just, you know, go in prayer. But I just, you know, took this second to call just to thank you for the encouragement.
I'm glad you did call. It was such a great time. And typically, you know, in previous years, we have come there and brought the 75 to 100 young people.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we were not able to do that this time, but we certainly appreciated our time together with you.
Amen.
It was wonderful.
Amen.
Where's your husband? Is he around?
Well, he's in a meeting right now.
You tell him for me. Give him a couple of words. Tell him it's time.
It's time.
It's
sure
time.
I know
tell
he
him
knows
it's
what that
time.
Means.
He knows what that means. It's time.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how are you doing, Pastor Shabelli?
Good. I just got back from Peru. I was actually, in the last month or so, I've been to Morocco, to Houston, Texas, to Peru, and to Florida.
Wow. Great.
And I'm here for the holidays until I go back to West Africa in January.
Wow, great.
So I just keep going. You know what?
Continue prayer.
Yeah. Just keep going. That's all you can do, you know? And the enemy would love to stop us, you know, stop us from ministering to people in the church, stop us from evangelism, stop us from prayer. Just always trying to, you know, what does a hinderer mean? Satan, if Paul says Satan hindered us, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, well, if Satan could hinder Paul, well, obviously, I can't compare to the Apostle Paul. He can hinder people and Christians and churches, and we have to watch out that he doesn't, well, is that interruption? Cut into our progress, right? That's interrupt going on.
That's right.
And really, like a spiritual interruption, a satanic interruption. He hindered Paul. And so, like, a lot of Christians said, somehow they just don't think along those lines, that they could be hindered by an enemy, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't think along those lines. So they just kind of, like, you know, oh, that was supposed to happen. No, it was a hindering spirit. And if you recognize a hindering spirit, you will not fellowship with it, think with it, operate under it in any way. But we're just going to trust God and not be hindered by his grace.
Interruption.
Amen.
I just heard your husband's voice. He's on a radio, right?
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Good afternoon. I had to get off and just say amen, amen, amen.
Well, you didn't get off by talking to us. You got on.
Yeah. But I just thank God so much for this time, this season. And, you know, like Pastor Love was saying, you know, God allows interruption, but it's for the advancement of the gospel.
Sure. Like
the gospel is advanced. You know, we're able to have God's perspective in these times for others.
We can even have trouble at Christmas, but God's going to use it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Good to hear your voice. Yep. Hope to see you again soon.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, we're going to wrap up the first half hour, friends. Thank you so much for being with us. If you have to sign off, we understand. But if you can stay with us, we have another half hour in this Grace Hour broadcast at, again, the internet, live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. And as soon as we turn the corner and start the second half, we're going to take our next caller. In the meantime, fill up those lines and join us on this Monday edition of the Grace Hour. Thanks again for joining us, friends. Everyone else, stay right where you are. And we're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Here are those numbers, 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And as we mentioned, the phone lines are open. You can fill up those lines and join us live in the Grace Hour as we continue to discuss this theme of heaven coming down. And Suzette
Elote
is patiently waiting to talk to us. And Suzette, we want to welcome you.
Is that Elote?
Thank you. It is me, Pastor Shabelli. It is me, Elote.
Elote, hey.
Hey, amen. Hey, I was just thinking, it was great to hear from Barbara and Pastor Sterling, and I love hearing a little bit about that interruptions message, Pastor Love. And before I get interrupted, I'm at the treatment center, so I just wanted to ask, if you would just talk about, you know, the fact that about salvation is total, right, total salvation. Will you talk about us being complete in our, you know, in him as relates to that, please?
Well, that's absolutely true, that if it's a total salvation, then we are perfect in Christ. We are complete in him, Colossians 2:10. We are accepted in the beloved in Ephesians 1:4 through 6, chosen and accepted in the beloved. And certainly that the truth of what salvation is, and its seven steps there, it brings us to a place where we are so aware of the fact that we are perfect in our position. Okay, that's positional truth. We're in Christ. Is Christ perfect? Yes. Am I in Christ? Yes. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to grow in my experience. There's going to be things that happen on a daily basis where I need to grow.
And let you please keep, because the bells and whistles are going off. If you don't mind.
Bells and whistles.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, salvation... And speaking about perfection, that's in our position. That's in our position. That's who we are in Christ. Perfect in Christ. And that's how God sees us, in Christ. And so, yet in my experience, I'm growing. There's where faith comes in. I have, by faith, I have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so there's a tremendous truth to position, there's positional truth, but there's also what I experience. See, what the enemy wants to do, and the enemy is the devil, the world, and the flesh, they would like us, these three enemies would like us to think our experience is our position. But there's going to be times when my experience is not spiritual. But that's not who I am. Who I am is in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm complete in Him. So it's understanding that, so that now I can be a receiver every day in my experience from my position. And therefore, I can grow as a believer. Hmm. That's how I would put that together.
So true. And just, and you know this too, Pastor Gibelli, because you just finished teaching the book of Romans in the evening. We taught it in the day, in the morning, on Friday mornings. But the difference between justification, which highlights our position, and sanctification.
Right.
You know, one, justification is an act. It's a declaration from God. And sanctification is a process. One is an act. The other is a process. And if someone were to say that, well, I'm in the process of justification, well, that's absurd.
That's absurd.
Because that gives the, it insinuates that you are moving towards being justified when you're justified by faith, when you put your faith and trust in Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for
you. What you're saying is you're justified by yourself or your own works.
Exactly.
Or your own ability to perform. And that's not the case at all. So justification, positional truth in Christ, found perfect, declared righteous. DKAO is the word in the Romans epistle, declared righteous. And then because of that, I can live sanctified or set apart to God and the Spirit and the Word of God. John 17:17, sanctified by thy word, set apart by the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:1-2. So absolutely.
Yeah. You lose sight of that. I mean, you I think every believer would say, look, I couldn't save myself. God had to do that. Well, if you don't have any power to save yourself, why would you think you have any power to set yourself apart or to become more like Christ or to be, you know,
or to keep yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Through that sanctification process. You don't have that power.
1 Peter 1:5 says, I'm kept by the power of God.
Exactly.
Kept by the power of God.
Well, Brian wrote to us and says, I agree with you about the date of the birth of Christ, but I also disagree. It, in one sense, it doesn't matter, but yet in another, it does matter. Maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit, Brian, so that we can continue that discussion. I think he's in agreement with us that it really, we know that Christ came, but how important is it that we know the exact date in which he came? That I'm unclear about.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our next caller joining us live in the Grace Hour on this Monday afternoon, Pastor Gary.
From his car?
From his car.
Hey, keep your hands on the wheel.
They're on the wheel. I got to make sure I take the right exits and all that kind of stuff.
But all right.
I didn't listen to the message, but I just had it on my heart to call in today. And for Missions Monday, I was thinking of just making our footprint on this earth with the gospel, thinking of the wise men. You know, we've had messages about the wise men, and they made a footprint on the physical earth with their feet, the way you could say, sought after God to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking of our time, our finances, our efforts going into the gospel, it's so worth it that we can change someone's life, that in the process our lives are changed. And we sang that song last night, you know, go tell it on a mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And this is just an amazing opportunity that we all had. And it brings life into perspective when we're involved in the gospel. It brings our car, our job, our house, our finances, our time, our effort, our sleep, whatever we do, it brings it in. Our free time, our family time, it brings everything into perspective when we're carrying the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So just thought I'd make that comment today.
Well, yeah, I like the idea of the footprint of the gospel. The church should have a footprint of the gospel. A believer should have the footprint of the gospel. My prayer life should have a footprint of the gospel. My giving should have the footprint of the gospel. A church and its weekly activities and its life, is there a footprint of the gospel? Are they just going through some religious exercises, you know, performing religious exercises to glorify human flesh? But everything that we do should leave a footprint. And it should be a footprint of who God is and what God has done. This is so important. You know, this world needs a footprint, you know. There's so many things that people think, even in Christians, think that this world needs, you know, what we need to do. It needs a footprint. It needs to see God in action, in people, okay?
Yes.
In people.
Yes.
People say, well, you know, if Jesus would just come back, I believe. No, you wouldn't. You'd just be like the rest of them who rejected him. So we've got the footprint.
Yeah. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. Amen?
Wow. Well, that's relevant. Very good. Very good. And just there was one other comment that Pastor Monty made this morning just about when we go, that first of all, that we're connected, he said. The second thing is that we're surrounded by the body, the church, what the church is doing. And the last thing he said is we are submitted. We are submitted. And it was just a great Missions Monday today, just to see what God, like you said, the footprint around the world of people with beautiful feet going into all of the world, and to see God's redemption, lives that were actually on the program. It was so beautiful to see. So just excited about that. Wanted to say something about that.
Amen.
Beautiful. Okay. Thanks, amen. Pastor. Appreciate the call.
Amen.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Diane Simpson Hayes has written to us, said, hello, pastors. Thanks for the grace message. Pastor Schiavelli, God's greatest gift is his love, which takes away our fear.
Amen.
Jesus is our Savior. Amen. Beautiful. And Marion is listening also to the Grace Hour today. Marion, welcome. Thank you. And let's go up to Montreal, Canada. Our good friend Lise is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Hi, Lise.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I'm all excited. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I love your French. I love your French. I'm so excited when I have to talk to you guys. I mean, Pastor Love, I think you're going to need some Tylenols, but I'm going to pray for you.
you can hear it in my voice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right. I know. I've got I have is a cold.
Yeah.
Just the common cold. Thank God for that. Yeah. That'll clear up
common
in time.
Common cold. I know my daughter Melanie, who lives in Baltimore, she has a cold too, and she went twice to have a test, and it's not COVID, but it's a cold.
Yeah.
And they say many people have it, you know.
Yes, it's that time of year.
Okay, I will pray for you. Yeah, exactly. But I'd like to say, Pastor Schiavelli, that I received a video from the mission team. And I thought it was so well done, so edifying. I just wanted to say again, I know I wrote to the office to congratulate them, but I wanted to tell you. And also, you know this thing of the cards? I don't know who spoke about that. Who gives cards? I know I heard it from Baltimore that some people were giving out Christmas cards. And it's very nice to, we do it in Montreal also. It's nice, you know, you put your track inside the card, and it's a nice way to start a conversation with people. And I'm always looking for the, you know, because I write handwriting, I handwrite, I don't know. In handwriting, I write a note you know, like a verse, you know, and a note with that verse. And I'm always looking for what would be the best one. And, you know, 2 Corinthians 9:15, I thought, it touched me very much. And even when you spoke about it, I think last Friday, I don't remember, but I mean, it really talks, you know, it touches me. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And it's like, yes, unspeakable, as you said.
Amen.
And and also, you know, it was nice, I thought yesterday the last words that Pastor Schaller said at the end of service, he said, I wrote it down. It's like, let's not receive things like under our skins that will rob our joy, you know? And I thought, you were saying that we're growing. Yeah, we're growing year after year. And now I find that what he said about not letting things under our skins, I thought,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, we look to Jesus. We don't look to the things that are below, you know, like we look up all the time, you know, and the circumstances. You know, when I was I was being taught at the beginning of my walk with God that I could be in the desert and, you know, and be happy in the desert. And I thought, wow, how can this be possible, you know? But I think I understand more and more now, you know, like it's not the circumstances that touch you. It's, you know, you are getting touched by Jesus all the time.
Amen.
And it's great. And Grace Hour is very important for me. That's why I keep you guys in prayer. And Pastor Love and Pastor Jubilee, I want to wish you, I was afraid that the week would go too fast. I say, wow, I better call right Monday.
Call in now.
I'm going to pray for you, and I want you guys to have nice resting time in the time of Holy Week.
Well, I believe we can all rest in Christ, and true rest will be
every day,
we'll be fine when you get to heaven. They'll be really resting in God, you know.
Okay, I agree.
No, I understand what you're saying. We find our rest in Him because He said it in Matthew 11:28-30. And you shall find rest for your soul. So there's no doubt about that happening. Yeah. You have a great, great week then. Say hello to everybody in Montreal, Canada. Oh, Canada.
Okay, I can do that. Okay.
All right, God bless.
Bye. Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
I wanted to look at a couple of these things I think it's Facebook. You know, I don't per se want to answer too many questions about the actual dates of Christmas and all that. I don't really know where that fits in at all. In other words, what is that going to do? In other words, is my heart, one of the greatest things that can happen is me proclaiming the gospel and then a person says yes to Jesus Christ on a certain day. So many people want to strain at gnats and swallow camels. And to me, it's just like I don't have time for that, you know, to get into these little things all about this and all about that, you know, whatever, you know, like whatever date you believe or whatever is on your heart. But do you have a heart for lost people? Do you have a heart for the lost? And do you realize that there's a heaven and there's a hell and that people need to be born again? So that to me is key. We have all something from Oliver Roman, and he is right now in Argentina. And he says, amen to what Pastor Gary said. And he's always commenting on our Kentucky blue and white. You got the blue and white too, but just in a different way.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's a blue and white thing.
Well, yeah. Is he from Kentucky originally?
Even know if he's from Kentucky, but he certainly
big Kentucky fan.
Gets behind it, yeah.
Loves the colors.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is that, I don't know, Kentucky, whatever. I've never been there. I mean, I don't know if he's invited me to go to Kentucky ever. I've been invited to Kentucky, but I would maybe love to see it.
Did he give you the sweatshirt?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, I mean, I wear it because I appreciate his gift. It's the gift. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
Through Oliver T. Rowan. And I know that he's having a great time in Argentina with Pastor Stan Collins. And I know they're going to use this week to really be able to minister to people the gospel of grace. And this is really what the key is for this week, is having an opportunity to minister the life of Christ to believers and then the life of Christ to unbelievers. Really, this is really what every day should be all about in all reality. So we just thank God. And what else do we have on there?
Oh, that's about it.
That's about it.
That's about it. But Pastor Schiavelli, I want to go back to your comments to start the program, the devotional message. This total salvation, which mm-hmm. is, again, found through an understanding of God's grace. Talk a little bit more about how it brings some people into total restoration. Because there's a lot of believers mm-hmm. who maybe they experience great failure in their lives.
Yes.
They come to this conclusion that, you know, I'm now outside of the grace of God. And somebody might even allude and take a passage of scripture out of context and say, well, you're fallen from grace. But God's total salvation includes total restoration to those that have erred from the way or stumbled or fallen.
Absolutely. In other words, salvation, because it is a positional truth where I'm found to be perfect in Christ, is not based upon my experience. And I must understand that, because there can be days when I'm walking with God and other days when maybe I go the wrong way. And what does that mean? Does that mean that when Peter was eating with Gentiles and Paul came up, or James came up, he separated himself, does that mean Peter lost his salvation because of his prejudice? Absolutely not. That certainly means he wasn't walking with God in that experience. But doesn't mean he lost God. In other words, saved forever. That's clearly the message in Ephesians 2, 5 through 10. Clearly the message, and accepted and complete in him. And so the devil would love to propagate a message that would say that salvation is based upon you, what you do and what you're doing, what you've done, what you do and what you're doing. And really, even if Satan would attack God the Son in Matthew chapter 4, what did he say to him? If you're the Son, he had the audacity to say to the Son, if you're the Son, you know? And the way it's used in that particular portion of scripture in the Greek and in the tense there, if and most likely you're not, or if, and it's based upon if you do this, you do that, if and you do, you know, and really that's what the enemy wants to project at the believer, at the church. And so to help us or to make us think that everything is based on me, on man, and not based upon God himself and the blood of Jesus Christ. And really, that's the key, to get people to be concerned about it, worried about it, thinking it through, analyzing it, evaluating it, always looking at these things and never really looking at the scriptures. So there could be a isolated scripture that might look like it might say something, but you got to take the scriptures, the whole counsel of God. You got to take the whole counsel of God and understand who is this verse being written to, why is it being said, and what's being talked about. But you take it in the context of all the scriptures on salvation.
Yeah. It sounded like the devil was interested in leading Christ into some kind of an identity crisis.
Yes.
If you are. And if you think you are, or if you believe what that voice said as to who you are, improve it. Do something.
Yeah, do something.
And doesn't the devil love to do that, just to get believers away from occupation with Christ and to start getting occupied with some of the things they can do in order to prove who they really are?
And where does that ever end? There's no end to that. Oh, how much did you give last year to charity? What are you giving this year? What are you going to give next year? You know, and it just never ends. It's a constant assault. What is he called in Revelation 12? 8:12, the accuser of the brethren. Wow. He's an accuser. It's a verbal assault that would try to bring us to a place where we begin to think we are something less than what God's word has said we are.
Wow.
And that's the key. And so understanding that we are born again, we are saved, we are complete in Him, except in the Beloved. We're perfect in Christ. And it doesn't mean we won't fail. It doesn't give me this somehow arrogance because of these truths. But these truths should humble me, and I should receive them with meekness so that I can see something implanted in me. We have Christian Geronimo?
I'm not sure. I think it's, yeah.
I think it's Geronimo.
Geronimo. Or is it Geronimo?
Well, I think they meant Geronimo because I think he's from Mozambique. I think.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not sure what the comment that he's sharing with us. Satan is so concerned with himself. It's like he wants us to think the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose he does.
Yeah. In other words, yeah, he's self-centered, and he wants us to be self-centered.
Mm.
You know, I will be like the Most High, Isaiah 14.
Oh, he's in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was...
Geronimo. It is...
Oh, it's Geronimo. A different name. Yeah, yeah. We have a Pastor Geronimo Mozambique.
How about that?
Maputo, Mozambique. He's a friend of mine.
Amazing.
Wow, it's close to Geronimo. Yeah. Oh.
Phone lines are open. You can join us 410-483-3700. That's the local number here in Baltimore. And the toll-free number is 800-338-7060. Getting back to this being restored in this total salvation and by grace, it seems to be the ministry of spiritually minded people.
Yes.
They're always, well, obviously, they're looking to preach the gospel to those that are not saved, but they're also very much interested in restoring believers who have taken a false step. Galatians 6:1,
yeah.
Which are spiritual. That takes a spiritually minded person. You can't, there's no indication that a carnally minded Christian can have a ministry of restoration to people.
Oh, well, because they can't restore themselves. They're carnally minded, and they won't allow God to restore them. Or they try to make restoration through their good deeds, what they do, or you know, what takes place, what they say, what they do, and all that. But it's only God who brings restoration. He restores Peter. He restores Israel in Jeremiah 31. He restores Hosea in Hosea 11, 1 through 4. He restores Noah, who falls into drunkenness and is half naked, and God restores him. God is the restorer of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. God restores him. So grace restores people. And it doesn't make a difference. Like, and of course, some people go, I've done too much. I've gone too far. You've gone too far. Well, he was in the pig pen of life in Luke 15. And in the pig pen, he came to himself. It doesn't say he got out of the pig pen through his own self-effort, cleaned himself up, and started walking back to his father. It says that he came to himself in the pig pen, you know, and that's totally meaning God does the restoring.
Yeah.
God does the changing. That takes man out of the picture.
Yeah. I suppose the only thing we could say he did is that he got up.
He got up, yeah.
Which was the best decision he could have made under those circumstances.
Yes.
Well, friends, couple of minutes left in the broadcast. We could still hear from you if you'd like to get to a phone very quickly at 410, again, 483-3700. And join us live on this.
Burundi. I've never seen anybody from Burundi kind of communicate with us. Great flowing from Burundi, Bujumbura. That's the capital of the country of Burundi, which is right below, right next to Rwanda.
Wow.
Rwanda. Burundi. It's like
big,
central.
Big country or small country?
No, it's a small country, but, you know, Rwanda and Burundi had a tremendous genocide that took place, and yet they've recovered, and churches are being planted, and people are coming to Christ. I don't know what he means by great flowing from Burundi, but I'm sure it's something good.
I hope it's a good thing. Just a couple of minutes left. The message today, the devotional to start our broadcast on that subject and theme of total salvation.
He's with Pastor Rama. I know Pastor Rama.
Ah,
he was trained in Uganda by Pastor Sam and in the Bible school there, and he went with Pastor Rama to Rwanda and Burundi.
Had a few folks join us from the continent of Africa today.
Really?
Yeah, that's exciting.
Oh.
Appreciate that very much.
And, we do.
Again, that the total salvation, Pastor Billy, maybe you could just quickly run through those one more time as we close the broadcast today.
Okay, grace salvation brings you to Christ, into the church, brings you up as you grow, brings you back when you need to be restored, brings you against the enemy, brings you out with the gospel, and brings you on to heaven. Two, into, up, back, against, out, and on. Two, into, up, back, against, out, and on.
And God does it all.
God does it all.
Yeah.
That's why it's a grace salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, bringeth total salvation, has appeared to all men.
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us, friends, on this Monday edition of the Grace Hour. And we are going to continue this theme all week long right here in the Grace Hour, which is heaven came down. How did heaven come down? Well, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we started our broadcast today by reminding our listeners that when Simeon was in the temple and Joseph and Mary were present with their newborn child to present him to the Lord, which was, again, part of the Old Testament law, when the first male child that opens the womb would be presented to the Lord. That's why they were there. Simeon saw him, and God gave him a promise that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he saw him, well, in typical fashion, in terms of the way God works in our lives, not only did he see him, which was the promise of God, but God did exceeding abundant above all he could ask or think. He took him up, lifted him up, held God's salvation, and called Christ God's salvation. If you cannot call Christ God's salvation, and if you do not by faith see him as God's salvation, then it stands to reason that you're going to be attempting to find some other way or some other means of salvation. But there is no other one. In fact, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved, except through Christ." Yes, it's a narrow road, because it's through Christ and him alone. Pardon me. Well, thank you, friends, for joining us. We're out of time. We're going to be back, God willing, tomorrow at the same time. We look forward to having you join us then. Until then, may God bless you.
Listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.